We are on Mem Amud Aleph. We're up to the ninth line, the two dots. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Yechiya, Ein Abotzea Rashai Litzoa, Ad Sheyaviu Melach Oliftan Lifnei Kol Echad V'Yechad. So the Gemara says that the Baal HaBayis is not allowed to make Hamotzi until every person has either salt or a dip in front of them. So then the Gemara continues, Rava Bar Shmuel Ikla Levei Reish Galusa. So Rava Bar Shmuel one time went to the house of the Reish Galusa, right? The Reish Galusa was like the guy who was in charge of all the Jews in Galus. So Apiku Le Rifta Ubatza Lehedja. So they brought out bread, and they just broke the bread and ate it without dipping it in salt or a dip. So Amrulay, so he asked the Reish Galusa, Hadar Mar Mishmaite, did you retract your statement? Meaning, do you not require bread dipped in salt or a dip? So Amar Lui said, no, Leis Dein Sarach Bishash, this kind of bread doesn't require salt. Why not? So the assumption is that only poor quality bread, which was apparently the standard in the times of the Gemara that didn't taste so good, you needed salt or a dip to make it taste better. This bread was a high quality bread, so it didn't need salt. So many poskim say that if you think the only reason why you need salt is only to make it taste good, so that probably doesn't apply today, because all of our bread tastes better than it did. There may be other reasons why we use salt. Anyway, that's what the Rishonim discussed. So practically, many people still end up using salt regardless. Okay, then the Gemara says, Va'amar Rava Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Yechiya. This statement has nothing to do with the Gemara. It's just, yeah.
This was not on a Friday night, I assume. I mean, there's a difference.
This was talking about in general. Right, in general. Right. Anytime, yeah. This Gemara is not talking about Shabbos necessarily. Okay, this next statement is not related at all to our Gemara. It just happens to be by the same Amora. That's why it's mentioned in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Ein Me Raglaim Kolim Ela B'Yeshiva. Urine only stops when you sit down. Because the assumption is that while you're standing, you're concerned the urine is going to sprinkle on your clothing. So the flow of urine will only really stop, will only completely go away if you're urinating while sitting down. Amar of Kahana, uva ofer tichoach, afilu ba'amida. But if you're urinating into loose earth, so then even when you're standing, the assumption is that the urine is going to get absorbed into the ground. However, v'ileka ofer tichoach, if there's no loose earth around, yamod b'mkom gavoa, v'yashtim l'mkom midra. And you should stand in an elevated place and urinate down an incline. This way, again, the urine will not get on your clothing. The Amar Rava Bar Shmuel Mishmei de Rav Yechiya. This is the same Amora, but now this is at least back to a sort of a brachos topic, although we'll see the Gemara is now going to give us some medical advice regarding the things that you should be eating. Acher kol achilascha echol melach, v'acher kol shesiyascha shesei mayim b'iyat nizok. The Gemara says, when you finish eating, you should eat some salt. And when you finish drinking, you should drink some water, and by doing that, you won't come to be harmed. And the Gemara says, tani nami hachi, acher kol achilascha echol melach, v'acher kol shesiyascha shesei mayim b'iyat nizok. The same idea. And then the Gemara says, tanya idach. We have another braisa that says, achol kol machol v'lo achol melach, shasa kol mashkin v'lo shasa mayim. This brisa is saying that if you don't eat salt or drink water after you eat or drink, it's actually harmful for you. During the day, it'll lead to bad breath, and at night, it'll lead to choking. That's what the Gemara says. Yeah.
Now, yeah. Our meat is obviously salted, so...
Correct.
If we have meat, we should have salt or something after the meat.
Again...
That's what many
Achronim point out. There's a famous comment from the Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal in Chulin, where he says that the Chazal made a cherem, they made a ban on people against following the medical advice in the Gemara, because it's going to make you think that Chazal were just, you know, basically just, you know, pulling things out of their head, essentially. Okay, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Hamak Ba'achil...
What? Weren't they?
Well, that's a question. I mean... The simplest understanding in my mind is that was the science of the day, which is not so crazy to understand. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbana, Hamak ba'achilaso b'mayim, einu ba'li de'choli me'ayim. If a person literally drenches their food in water, what that basically just means is you drink a lot of water after you eat, so you will not come to have intestinal pains. B'chama, how much water do you have to drink to avoid illness? Amar Rav Chista, kiton lepas. The Gemara says you have to drink one flask of water per loaf of bread that you eat. Amar Rav Mari, Amar Rav Yochanan, Haragil ba'adashim, if a person eats lentils, achas l'shloshim yom, moneya askara mitoch beso. If you eat lentils every 30 days, you will prevent your family from choking. But I will call you malo. But if you eat lentils every day, that's a problem. My time, mishum dekash l'reachapeh. Eating lentils every day apparently gives you bad breath. V'amar Rav Mari, Amar Rav Yochanan, Haragil b'chardol achas l'shloshim yom, moneya chala emitoch beso. If you eat mustard seeds every 30 days, that's going to prevent illness from befalling your family. Avol kol yom alo, my taima mishum dekasha l'chol shadaliba, because eating mustard seeds every day gives you heartache. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav. Haragil bedagim kitanim, einu bali decholi meyai. If a person eats small fish, they won't have intestinal pains. Velo od, ela shedagim kitanim mafrin umarbin umavrin kol gufo shalodim. Small fish is supposed to vitalize a person, give them energy, give them strength. Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, haragil beketzach, einu bali dekeivle. If a person frequently eats black cumin seeds, they will not come to have any sort of heartache. So the Gemara asks, Meisve, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, ketzach echon mishishim sam. But Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that black cumin is so dangerous that it's considered to be 1/60th of death, and if a person sleeps to the east of a warehouse full of black cumin, basically damo berosho, you're basically taking your life into your own hands. Yeah.
How are you defining it? What word are you using?
The way I saw ketzach was translated as cumin, like the spice.
Well, they call it fennel here. But
okay, whatever. I don't know. I saw it, whatever it is. So anyway, so not fentanyl. Okay, so anyway, the Gemara says
fentanyl
is a drug. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, how could you say that that eating this whatever cumin, fennel, whatever it is good for you? Don't we see that it's going to kill you? Or it says, no, lokashia, habericho habitamu. Smelling the fennel or the cumin or whatever, that's bad for you, but eating it is okay, it's good for you.
Is and
the
superstitions?
No, again, I think this was like the medicine of the day. I don't know. Yeah. Okay? And then the Gemara has a story about this, and it says, Ime de Rabbi Yirmiya, afyale rifta, umedabkale, umakalfale. Rabbi Yirmiya's mother used to bake bread and put these, again, cumin or fennel, whatever it was, on the bread, and then she would peel it off. So the flavor was there, which would give you a health benefit, but the odor wasn't there, which wouldn't harm you. Rabbi Huda Omer Bori Meidishim. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, remember we had a machlokas about the bracha you make on vegetables, so we paskin Bori Pri Adama. Rabbi Huda says, you make the bracha of Bori Meidishim. So Amar Rabbi Zeh, Rabbi Yisema, Rabbi Chinana Bar Papa, in halacha ke Rabbi Huda. We know, of course, that we do not follow Rabbi Huda's opinion. The Amar Rabbi Zeh, Rabbi Yisema, Rabbi Chinana Bar Papa, my time of the Rabbi Huda. Why does Rabbi Huda insist that you make this bracha Bori Meidishim on vegetables? Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. You have to praise Hashem every day. So asks the Gemara, V'chi b'yom mevarchin oso. You're only going to praise Hashem during the day, but not by night? No, what the pasuk means is, kol yom v'yom, tein lo me'ein berchosav, hachanami kol min v'min, tein lo me'ein berchosav. Just as every day, you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'ein berchosav. In other words, you have to specify, you have to use specific brachos that we do, let's say, for example, in Shmona Esrei. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to use the most specific bracha possible. Bori mini d'sha'im, right? The word d'sha'im literally means like
grass
or like herbiage or things, you know, yeah, exactly, things that are growing. So he thinks that's a more specific term than yurakos, which is like a general term for vegetables. So because he says you have to be as specific as you can when praising Hashem, that's why he says you make this other bracha.
Why wouldn't you say Bori Pri lettuce?
You're saying why would you identify every single... Okay, that's a fair question. Probably the simplest answer is because we don't necessarily know the Hebrew terms for all of the foods that we're eating. It could be like, as we already saw, right, the word ketzach, we already had, we're not sure it's a cumin, it's a fennel, right? So I'm saying it could be that a lot of times... You're not going to be super accurate with the words that you're saying, but the question really becomes what kind of level of specificity do you need when making a bracha? So we pass like the chachamim, you don't have to be like, you know, down to the nth degree of specifying what type of vegetable it is. As long as you say vegetables, that's good enough. So that's probably why we don't have to you know specify every single vegetable that we eat.
Why you need to say vegetable? Why can't you say
Well, that's the question of why can't you just say shahakol and everything, which the Mishnah says that b'diyeved in certain cases maybe you can, as we'll get to that, you know, in a little bit. We'll see that, but you know that would be the equivalent of saying shahakol essentially, because shahakol just means Hashem created everything.
Which, mine
is
a little bit more specific.
Slightly more. Okay, says the Gemara of Amar Rabbi Zeira v'Yisema Rabbi Chinana Bar Papa. Bo re'e, shelo kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. The way that Hashem operates is not the way that human beings operate. Midas basar v'dam, kli reikon machzik, malei eno machzik. So for regular people, a kli that's already filled cannot retain anything else. It's full already. And only an empty kli can retain things. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu eno chein. Malei machzik, reikon enon machzik. Hashem allows us to be filled up with more Torah when we're already filled with Torah. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, this is from this past week's parasha. Vayomerim shamoa tishma. Right, if you listen to the words of Hashem, what does that mean? Im shamoa, if you listen to the words of the Torah, then tishma. Then Hashem will allow you to learn more Torah. V'im lav lo tishma. But if you don't listen, then Hashem will not allow you to be filled up anymore. That's one interpretation. Davar acher, im shamoa biyashan tishma bechadash. If you review your old learning, Hashem will allow you to understand the new learning. V'im yifne levavicha shuv lo tishma. But if you turn your heart away, if you don't review that which you've learned, then Hashem will no longer allow you to understand and to comprehend more Torah. Okay, says the Mishnah. Birich al piros ha'ilon bori pri ha'adama yatza, v'al piros ha'aretz bori pri ha'etz lo yatza, v'al kula mimamr sha'akol nyevet varo yatza. So the Mishnah says, if you accidentally recited a ha'adama on a fruit, b'dievet, that's okay. If you recited a ha'etz on a vegetable, that's not okay, because ha'etz is more specific than ha'adama is. Ha'adama is more general, so by definition it includes fruits and vegetables. And the Mishnah says, b'dievet, if you made a sha'akol on anything, then b'dievet you would be yotze. So asks the Gemara, man tana de ikar ilan arahi. Who is the tana that assumes that a tree is getting its sustenance from the ground? Meaning, the fact that I could b'dievet say ha'adama and b'yotze, let's say for an apple, that's obviously presupposing that although an apple technically grows on a tree, but because the tree is getting its sustenance from the ground, so b'dievet ha'adama would also be okay. Who is the tana that subscribes to that shita? So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda. It's a shita of Rabbi Yehuda based on a Mishnah Maseches Bikurim. It's not. The Mishnah says, Yavi shamayon v'nikta tza'ilan, mevi ve'eno kore, Rabbi Yehuda omer mevi ve'kore. We know that there's a halacha regarding the mitzvah of Bikurim, of bringing your first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a parsha that you have to recite from the beginning of Parshas Kisavo that accompanies the Bikurim that you bring. And part of the psukim that you say is that you thank Hashem for giving you fruits al ha'aretz asher nasati, over the land that Hashem granted you. So there's a machlokas in the Mishnah Bikurim. What happens? Let's say I harvested my first fruit, and then afterwards the springs in my field dried up, and then my tree got chopped down or got knocked down. So the question is, am I still justified in thanking Hashem for the fruits that He gave me al ha'aretz? Because technically speaking, the tree from which the fruit grew is now chopped down. So according to the Chachamim, you still bring the Bikurim, but you're no longer able to recite the Parshas HaBikurim because the tree from which the fruit grew is no longer there. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no, you can recite the Parshas HaBikurim also, because according to him, right, the primary sustenance of the tree came from the ground, and the ground is obviously still there. So that's the basis for the opinion that says that b'dievet, if you say ha'adama on a fruit, you would still be yotze, because the tree gets its primary sustenance from the ground.
I thought this was talking about Bikurim, because I thought they were referring to a tree that was growing very close to the border of his neighbor, and it was getting sustenance from his neighbor.
That's a Baba Basra and a Kelayim sugya. That's
right.
A question.
That's a much better raya than that. If you would have any fruit that came from the tree, you're not chayav to bring Bikurim, because you were mamish, you would steal.
But those halachos, those halachos don't depend on. In other words, if I have a tree that's growing into my neighbor's property, so that's not a halacha that depends on, is this technically called aretz? Is this called ilan? Right. But by Bikurim, there's a standard that at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, that in order to say the words el haaretz, which is in the parsha of Bikurim, it needs to qualify as land. So the question becomes, how do we define that for the purposes of Bikurim?
Perfect, because it shows you that because the tree is on my property, but it's getting nutrients from your property,
okay.
I consider it a ganav.
But there's no.
But
for example, if you look in the Torah,
so that proves it to you right away that it comes on the ground.
Okay, but again, if you look in the Torah in the context of, let's say, the parsha of ganav and gazlan, it never says only if you steal in this way are you chayav. Meaning this is a formal din specifically by Bikurim that there needs to be aret. So that's why the Gemara is using this as a paradigm, right, to kind of figure out, you know, in which case if I recited a hadam on fruit b'dieved, would I still be yotze? Okay, then the Mishnah said, al peros ha'aretz. We said that if you made a ha'adama on fruit, so then we said that you would be yotze, but if you said ha'etz on vegetables, then you would not. So asks the Gemara Pshita, right? In other words, of course you have to make, generally ha'etz on fruit and ha'adama on vegetables, but it sounds like that it should be obvious to us that if I made ha'adama, that I would be yotze. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, lo nitzricha elo Rabbi Yehuda de Amar chita min ilanhi, right? This is only according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda happens to hold that wheat is a type of a tree. What's the basis for that opinion? Desanya, ilan she'achal mimenu Adam Harishon. There's a three-way machlokes in the Gemara about what type of fruit did Adam Harishon eat from the Eitz Hadas. So Rabbi Meir Omer, Gefen Haya, it was a grapevine. She'en lecha davar, she'mevi yalala al ha'adam elayayin, she'ne'emar vayesht min hayayin vayishkar. We know from the story of Noach getting drunk, wine is something, as the Gemara says, that causes people to wail, that causes people to do, you know, terrible things. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, te'ena ha'isa, it was a fig. She'bedavar she'neskalkalu boni taknu, she'ne'emar vayisperu alayisena, Rashi in Parshas Bereishis quotes this, that we know that after Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas and realized that they were naked, Hashem sewed, using the fig leaves, and sewed up, you know, basically clothing for them. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, Chita ha'isa, it was grain, it was wheat. She'ena tinok yodea likros abba v'ima ache yitum tam dagat. Right, kids know how to ask for food, know how to ask for wheat, before they know how to say, you know, mommy and daddy, basically. So the Gemara says, Selka daita, yeah.
Why would we ascribe that the fruit that Adam ate from was a fruit that we even know what it is today. Because why should we be allowed, let's assume it's a grape or whatever it was,
yeah,
or a,
yeah,
a fig, or,
yeah,
why would you think we would be allowed to eat that fruit today?
Why wouldn't you? Hashem told them, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. That was a one-time restriction. Yeah, Hashem never said to Bnei Yisrael, never eat figs, right? It's not. In fact, figs are one of the Shibas Aminim, and grapes are one of the Shibas Aminim. And actually, all three of these are actually from the Shibas Aminim. So if anything, it sounds like the opposite.
There's so much emphasis on all three wine, of them, as if it, you know, gets you drunk, things like that.
Yeah.
But there are other things that you know, get you drunk either faster or
true,
others, like the whiskey.
True, yeah.
But they never bring down.
The Gemara does talk about that in other places. But I'm saying for these purposes, right? The Gemara is describing something that was a fruit that could be made into. Meaning, I guess you know technically, you know, there could have been hops growing on the Eitz Hadas also. But again, these are the three opinions. What? Yeah. In the times of the Gemara, primarily they actually drank date beer. That's why the Gemara's in Pesachim talk about beer, because beer back then was actually kosher lePesach, because we didn't have dates, not out of barley. Okay. So fine. So again, so the Gemara says, Salka Daita Chamina, I would have said, Ho Ova Amar Rabbi Yehuda Chitan Min Ilanhi Livrich Ale Bore Priya Eit. Since Rabbi Yehuda says that wheat is a type of a tree, it's a Min Ilan, maybe you should recite Ha'eitz on wheat. No. Kamash Malan, Hecha Mivarchin on Bore Priya Eit. In which case do you say Ha'eitz? Hecha Dechi Shakaltle Lepere Isa Legavazav Ahadar Mapik. You only say Ha'eitz on a type of a tree where when you remove the fruit, the branch still survives and it continues producing fruit after you take the initial fruit off. But if you have a type of a tree or a bush where you take the fruit off and now nothing is going to grow again, now the tree is basically going to die, then you make hadamah. This is a big shiloh in terms of brachas, make different kinds of berries. Because let's say, for example, there are different standards, again, in terms of how tall the bush has to be. So for example, like when it comes to raspberries and blueberries, there's somewhat of a machlokas regarding whether it should be ha'itz or hadamah, which is related to this issue about whether the berries are going to regrow or whether they're going to die. Okay.
You're saying that if you do have the Adama, okay, on something that really should have been her age, you're covered anyway.
Bidiyevet, yeah, correct. Bidiyevet, you would be okay, yeah.
You know, in Shabbat, they say when you bench on a date,
yeah, correct.
The heart of the pond,
correct, because it's so full of hakshas. It's so full of hakshas, yeah.
It's the same reasoning, because
right.
Once you eat the heart of the pond,
right.
The tree dies,
so correct, yeah, correct, correct. Okay. So okay, fine. So then the Mishnah said, "V'alkula nemamar shahakol." We said v'di'evit. If you recited shahakol, so v'di'evit, you would be yotzei. So it says the Gemara, "Itmar Ravuna Amar chutz min apasum in hayayin." For Rabbi Yochanan Amar afilu pas v'ayin. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara. How, in other words, how far reaching is shahakol really? So according to Ravuna, shahakol works for everything except for bread and wine. Rabbi Yochanan says, "No, shahakol even covers bread and wine." So the Gemara says, "Nema kisanai." Maybe we should suggest that this is like the following machlokas tanai. Ra pas v'amar kama noya paset. Baruch hamakum shebira yatsa. So this is kind of like basically a made up bracha. A person said, look how beautiful this bread is. You know, thank God that he made this bread. So that's kind of like the equivalent of benching, essentially, or a bracha. So the Gemara says, b'di'evet you be yotze your bracha of hamotzi if you said such a statement. What about ra te'ina v'amar kama noa te'ina zo baruch hamakum shebira yatsa different matters. And the same thing would be true when it comes to a fig. If you said that similar formulation, so according to Rabbi Meir, you would be yotze. However, Rabbi Yosi omer kol ha. Rabbi Yossi says, if you alter, if you change around the nusach habracha that the Chazal instituted, you're not yotze. So says the Gemara, Nema Ravuna de Amar Rabbi Yossi for Rabbi Yochanan de Amar Rabbi Meir. Lichora, this machlokas that we just quoted between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi about whether if I basically make up my own bracha I'm yotze, seemingly is the same machlokas Ravuna and Rabbi Yochanan about whether if I bidiyevet recited shahakol on bread and wine, whether I'm yotze because I'm using the wrong bracha. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good proof. The Gemara says, Amar Lichora. Ravuna says, again, Ravuna was the one who said that shahakol does not work on bread and wine. So he says, no, I can even subscribe to Rameir, who says that if I make up these, you know, these different formulations, that I would be yotze. Why? Because adkan lo ka'am Rabbi Meir hasam elo hecha de kam mirkar shmei de pas. The only reason why Rameir says that you would be yotze by making up these statements by bread and by figs is because at least you mention the bread or you mention the figs in your formulation. But even Rameir would agree that if you left out the word bread or figs in your formulation, you would not be yotze. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lecha, Anadamri Afilu Rabbi Yosi. Ad kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Yossi Hassam elam yishim de ka'amar bracha de lo takinu rabana. Aval amar shahakon yebed varo de sakinu rabanan afilu Rabbi Yossi mode. On the other hand, one could argue that the only reason why Rabbi Yochanan says that in general your yotze is because at least you said a bracha that, you know the bracha of shahakon, which Chazal made up. So that is a real bracha, albeit not the regular bracha for bread and wine, but just making up your own statements is not anything that Chazal instituted at all. So maybe you could argue that, in other words, even though Rabbi Yochanan would say in general, if I say shahakon and bread and wine, I would be yotze, say, but to make up my own statement about bread and wine or figs or whatever it is, then in that case I would not be yotze.
Would that apply to bracha in English?
Okay, we're going to get to that in a second. Yeah, we'll see that in a second. So the Gemara says, Binyamin Raya, Karach Rifta V'Amar, Baruch Mari Da'ibida. So Binyamin the shepherd was one time, breaking bread, and he said, blessed Hashem, the God who made, who made this bread. So Amar Rav, Yotze, he was yotze his chiyuv of benching. So asks the Gemara of Amar Rav, kol bracha she'in b'haskaras Hashem ein bracha. So, but Rav is the one himself who says that you have to mention Shem Hashem. Now, the word Rachmana we usually translate as the merciful one, but that's not a direct reference to Hashem's name. The person says, no, the Amar Baruch Rachmana Mori the Haipita. So the case was that he added the word Mori, the master, which is an allusion to Hashem. So asks the Gemara, what do you mean? V'habi'ina shalosh brachos. But don't you need three brachos for benching? We know that the bracha of Yechatzrin was only added later on. But the oraisa, you only need three brachos for benching. So how could he possibly be yotze all three brachos by just saying, thank you Hashem for creating this bread? Umar says, no, my yotze de ka'amar rav nami, yotze de bracha rishon. Umar says, you're right. He was only yotze the first bracha of benching. He still needed to say the other two brachos. So the Gemara says, my kamash malan. What's the chiddush of the story in the Gemara? That because he said the bracha in a different language, in this case Aramaic, that he was yotze? But we know that already. That's an explicit Mishnah in the end of Masechta Sota. The Mishnah says, Tanina, ve'elu ne'amarim b'chol lashon. The following things can be recited in any language. Parsha Sota, right? The parsha of the Sota that you recite in the Beis HaMikdash. Vidui Meiser, which is when a person confesses to Hashem that he properly took off trumos and meisers from all of his grains. U'kriya shema u'tfila u'birkas hamazon. You see that you're allowed to bench in any language. So what's the chiddush of the story? Mar says no. Itchrich. Salkadai tachamina. I might have said hani mile de amra b'lashon chol ki hechi de sakinu rabbanon b'lashon kodesh. Maybe the only time that I'm yotze benching in a different language is when my different language benching is an exact translation of the original Hebrew. Avelo amra b'lashon chol ki hechi de sakinu rabbanon b'lashon kodesh ein malo. Come ashmalon. But I might have argued that if my benching is not a precise translation of the original Hebrew, maybe I'm not yotze. Mar says no, it's not true. Even if your translation of benching is not precise. A precise translation, you're still going to be yotze. Says the Gemara Gufa, Amar Rav, Kol bracha she'in b'haskaras Hashem ein bracha. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kol bracha she'in b'malchus ein bracha. We have a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. What is the crux of a bracha? According to Rav, if you're lacking Hashem's name, that's not a bracha. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you also need malchus. You need mention of the fact that Hashem is Melech Ha'olam in order for the bracha to be valid. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye kivasei de Rav mistaber. Rav's opinion makes more sense. The Sanya, right? The Brisa quotes the pasuk from Parshas Kisavo in the context of vidui ma'aser that we just alluded to a second ago about a person confessing to Hashem that he never did any averos in terms of shumos and maestros. So he says, lo avarti mi mitzvosecha velo shachachti. Right? The person says, I never violated your mitzvos and I never forgot to take off shumos and maestros. So the Gemara explains, lo avarti mi levarechecha, I never violated the halacha, in other words, in terms of not making a bracha, velo shachachti mi lahaskir shimcha alav, the ilu malchus lo katani. What does the Braisa say? The person never forgot to mention Hashem's name, but it never says that he never forgot to mention the malchus of Hashem. So that implies that Rav is correct, that the focus of the bracha is Hashem, as opposed to the Malchus. Gemara says, no, that's not true. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Tenei, Velo Shachachti, Milahaskir, Shimcha, U'malchuscha, Allah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you have to amend the Braisa to include the word Malchus. Okay. The Mishnah says, Yaldavar She'in Gidulum in Aretz, Omer Shachol Niyab Devarah. You recite Shachol on something which does not grow from the ground. For example, Al HaChometz, V'al HaNovlos, V'al HaGovai, Omer Shachol Niyab Devarah. On vinegar, right? In other words, on wine that turned to vinegar, Novlos are basically dates that have spoiled, and Govai are locusts or grasshoppers. You recite Shehakol on all three of those. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Shehu Min Klala in Mevarchet Alav. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you do not recite a bracha on something which is a klala. What does that mean for our purposes? Something which spoiled, something which has gone bad, maybe in the case of the grasshopper, something which is associated with a klala, like from Makas Arbe. Those things you do not recite a bracha. Then the Mishnah says, Hayu Lefan of Minan Harbe. Let's say you had multiple foods in front of you. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Yesh Benehan Min Shiva Alavu Mevarchet. If one of the foods in front of you is one of the Shiva Saminim, then you make make the bracha on that first. No, so the Chum say make the bracha on whichever food you want first. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, al davar she'ein gidulum in aretz kigon besar behemos chayus ve'ofus ve'dagim omer shakol yom devaro. So on things like meat, chicken, fish, you make a shahakol. Ala cholav v'ala bitzim v'ala gvina, also omer shahakol. You also say shahakol on things like milk, eggs, and cheese. Al hapas she'ipsha v'al hayayin she'hikrim v'al hatavshil she'ovar tzuraso omer shahakol on moldy bread, on wine that's gone sour, on a dish that's, you know, become, you know, basically spoiled. You say shahakol on those things as well. And al hamelach v'al hazamis v'al kimeinu pitrios omer shahakol, and on brine and on salt and on truffles and mushrooms, you also recite a shahakol. Okay. So, what?
So if you have multiple foods in front of you, okay,
it's machlokas in the Mishnah, yeah.
Which so you say shahakol when you eat this, then you do mizonos.
Well,
you eat
we're going to talk about this more tomorrow's daf in terms of the order of the brachos, in terms of which bracha you should be making before the other one. In our Mishnah, just the simple reading of the Mishnah is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shivas aminin takes precedence. If you have a fruit that's a shivas aminin in there, if you don't have that, then it seems like everyone agrees you can just make whatever you want first. Chacham say even if you have a shivas aminin, let's say you prefer to eat an apple over a grape, so according to the chacham, you would make the bracha on the apple and not the grape.
No, but what I'm saying is, so you can have multiple foods there that you'd be making a bracha on every single type of food that you.
Well, I mean, meaning every single type of bracha. Meaning, if I have multiple, right? Yeah, correct. Yeah, well, yes. In general, you're going to be making, you know, multiple brachos depending on the number. Theoretically, yeah, correct.
Did we discuss if you can make a shahakol on boring mina
b'samim? B'samim is later in the perek. I mean, no, shahakol does not work for b'samim, but there is a shahakol equivalent of b'samim, which is what most Ashkenazi make for Avdala, which is mina b'samim. Mina b'samim and b'samim is the shahakol equivalent. That's Gemara. It's on Shabbos. It's daf mem gimel, I believe. Okay, so the Gemara now asks, lememra de kimeinu pitrios lav gidule karkaninu. So the fact that you're making a shahakol on truffles and mushrooms would lead us to believe that truffles and mushrooms do not grow from the ground. Is that really true? V'hasanya hanoder mi peros haaretz aser b'feros haaretz. If a person takes a neder to not eat fruits that grow from the ground, so you're not allowed to eat fruits. However, umutter b'kemeinu pitrios, but you can eat truffles and mushrooms. But v'emamar kol gidule karka alai aser af b'kemeinu pitrios. If a person says, I'm not going to eat anything that grows from the ground, that also means that they're not allowed to eat truffles and mushrooms. So don't you say that truffles and mushrooms do in fact grow from the ground? Why are they only shahakol? So Amar Abaye, no. Mirva Ravu Meara, Minak Lo Yanke Meara, because true that they grow from the ground, but they don't get their sustenance, right? Truffles and mushrooms are fungi, right? In other words, they're not vegetables. That's why the bracha is shahakol. So the Gemara says, well, hang on a second. But the Braisa said, or the Mishnah said, that it's a davar shegidulo min haaretz. That's something that grows from the ground. So technically, these grow from the ground, despite the fact that their sustenance is coming from somewhere else. Mar says, you're right. Tenei, al davar shein yonik min haaretz. We have to amend the Mishnah to mean something which doesn't get its sustenance from the ground. Therefore, Lamaisa, you make a shahakol on truffles and mushrooms.
Where do they get their sustenance from?
They get their sustenance. The Gemara assumes that their sustenance comes from the air, from the sun, not directly from the ground, because they're only a fungus. They're not an actual vegetable. Okay, then the Mishnah said, Va'al ha-novlos, right? So my novlos, what exactly are these novlos? So it's machlokas in the Gemara. Rabbi Zera v'Rabbi Illa. So chad amar bush le-kamra, v'chad amar tamrei de-zika. So one opinion says that novlos are bush le-kamra, right? Bush le-kamra basically means dates that have over-ripened, dates that have spoiled or have gone bad. The other opinion says that they're tamrei de-zika, they're dates that have fallen off from the tree because of the wind. So the Gemara says, Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol shehu min klala in levarachat alav. We said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you do not recite a bracha on anything which has an association with something negative, with a klala. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam alaman de amar bushle kamra hainu dekari le min klala. So I understand, according to the first opinion, that the novlos are these overripe dates that have gone bad. So that makes a lot of sense. That's why it's a min klala. That's why you're not making a bracha on it. But el alaman de amar tamre de zika my min klala. But if it's just dates that fell off by the wind, there's no curse. The dates are still perfectly good. They were just knocked off by the wind. Mar says, you're right. Ashara, that statement of Rabbi Yehuda that said that you don't make a bracha on something which is a klala, was referring to the other two things in the Mishnah, namely the vinegar and the locust. Okay, then we said Ika Damre, Bishlam Alamand Amr Bushle Kamra, Haina Dimavarchina Alayu Shahakol. But El Alamand Amr Tamri Dezika, Shahakol, Bore Priyaitmi Boy Leila Varuche. In other words, I understand, according to the first opinion, that novlos mean dates that are overripe, so that explains why you make a shahakol, because the dates are basically spoiled. But if you think that the second shah is correct, that it just means dates that are still good, that were just knocked off by the wind, you should be reciting Ha'itz on that, not hakol. Gemara says you're right. Ela binovlo stama kuli amalu pligi de bushle kamra minu. Everyone agrees that regular plain novlos, that's bushle kamra. That's things that were overripened. Those are bad. But ki pligi binovlos tamar. There's this new category called novlos tamar. It's like a different type of a date. This now this is the opening mission of Meseches Kelayim. Hakal and Shabbat demai. We know demai is basically when you have produce where it's a suffix where you're not sure if a person took off trumos and maisers from the produce. So typically we try to, you know, in other words, we usually are machmir to make sure that you separate it. But in the following scenarios, we're even going to be mekel to not insist that you separate demai. What are these exceptions? Hashisin, v'harimin, v'ha'uzridin, v'no shuachu, v'no shikma, v'gufnin, v'nitzpa, v'novos tamara. So novos tamara is from our case. So the Gemara is now going to define what each of these things are. So shisin, what are shisin? Amaraba, barbar, chanam, rabbi yochanan, minteinim. They're a type of fig. Rimin are kande. Kande, I think it's called like the lotus tree. That's what I saw quoted. I don't know how our school translates. That's what I saw quoted. Okay, then ha'uzridin are tolshei uzridin are crab apples. But no shuach amaraba barbarchanim Rabbi Yochanan te'ini chivarta. They're white figs. But no shikma amaraba barbarchanim Rabbi Yochanan duvle. Those are fruit from a sycamore tree. Gufnin shilhei gufne. Those are the grapes that grow at the end of the season. Nitzba piracha. That's like the bud, the stem that grows from the fruit. And then novos tamara. So what is that? So that's the same machlokas that we just quoted. Rabbi Ilav, Rabbi Zera, chadam or bush lekamra, the chadam or tamid zika. The same machlokas we quoted is that the dates that are overripe are the dates that were knocked off by the wind. So the Gemara says, Bishlam alamandu amar bushle kamra, haina de katani hakalan shabad demai, sfeikon hu de potter, havada on chayav. So, yeah, so in other words, I understand if novelos are these overripe dates, that would explain why the Mishnah says that this is a kula regarding demai, because demai by definition is a suffix. So the only time that I'm putter from separating trumos and maestros on these novelos, on these dates, is only when it's a suffix, when I don't know if trumos and maestros were taken off, implying that if I know for a fact that trumos and maestros were not taken off, it sounds like I do, in fact, have to separate trumos and maestros even from these dates. But el leman damer tamer dezika vadon chayav hefkeraninu. But if I have dates that were knocked off the tree by the wind, so let's say I know for a fact that no one took trumos and maestros off of these dates. But who cares? Once the dates are knocked off by the wind, they're hefker. They don't belong to you anymore. And hefker produce is not subject to the dinim of trumos and maestros. So how could the Mishnah imply that in a case where I know for a fact that trumos and maestros were not separated, that I have to take it off? That seems to go against the implication based on the second understanding that novos are things that were knocked off by the wind. So why are those chayiv and trumos and maestros at all? Right. In other words, they're hefker. So
even if it's my tree.
Correct. Correct. It's still correct because those things now belong to the aniyim, as we'll see in a second. So the Gemara says, no. Hacha b'mayaskinan sha'asan goren to amar Rabbi Yitzchak, amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov haleket v'hashichecha v'hapeah sha'asan goren hukvu lemaiser. If you had leket shichecha and peah, right, those are all the things that you have to leave for the aniyim, the stuff that falls off the tree and the stuff in the corners of your field and the stuff that you forget in your field, you leave them for the aniyim. So those things, typically speaking, are putter from trumos and maestros. However, if the aniyim came together and gathered everything into a pile, they made it into like a goren, into like a threshing floor, so to speak. So now it's chayiv and trumos and maestros. So if I take all these dates that fell off the tree from the wind and I put them into a pile, now they're chayiv and trumos and maestros. So what was that? Well, in the case of Lekka and Shechem Peah, the Ani, yeah, but in our case, even the person who picks up the dates. Ika da Amre, Bishlam alamad da Amar Tamre de Zika, Hainu da Hacha Kari la Novos Stama, Vahasam Kari la Tamara. So I understand according to the first opinion, I'm sorry, according to the second opinion that Novos are the things that were knocked off the tree by the wind. That's why we're calling it Novos, in other words, regular Novos in one case, versus Novos Tamara in the other case. But El Amand Amar Bushle Kamra, Nisne Edividi Novos Tamara, O Edividi Novos Stama. But if you're going to tell me that Novos are just overripe dates, why wasn't the Gemara consistent in the lashon that it used in both cases? Either call them both novlos, or call them both or call them both novlos tamara. Somewhere says kasha. The Gemara leaves that as an unresolved textual question. Okay.
What's the story? Yeah.